Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunters' leading home builder.
She's at the Moth Club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to pull a dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
And Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter.
Celebrating 10 years.
Good morning, everybody.
Tuesday, hello.
Yay. I had to dodge all the garbo trucks on the way here this morning.
Ah, yes.
Or the waste refuse, or what do we call them these days?
Garbos.
Okay.
And even the boys that'll ring will still give themselves a really long name. But laugh.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, because it's Garbo Day around my area. So
remember when there was like four people hanging off a truck and running?
Oh, I know. And they were usually footy players.
Yes.
They were training.
True, true. That is true.
And they had their big gloves on and they had little short shorts and the work boots.
Yep.
You're saying that like it's a bad outfit.
No, I think they look cool as.
I thought he said it like he used to look at them a lot.
It sounded like it actually, didn't it?
I'd say I did, but I'd never ever got up that early. Free to this job.
Oh, come on. We were all coming home when the garbos were out.
That's right. Fair call. Fair call.
Actually, someone asked me yesterday, do you enjoy the hours that you guys work? Like, do you easily get up every single day? And I say, every single day, I look at the alarm and go, gah! Yeah.
Do you?
Do you ever get used to the hours? Like,
I always answer this question. I always answer, no, you don't get used to it. You know what I mean? Like, you'll be tired. You're still tired.
Still tired, yeah.
But
I like the hours.
I love the hours, like working the hours, but I still just waking up. It's not easy for me to wake up every morning, though we've done it for...
And we're good talk for this time. Everyone listening right now is the same. Right? When they talk to friends and you're out and a friend goes, oh, my God, I've got to get up at 7:30.
I know.
You're like, yep.
That's a sleep thing. How often do you say that?
It's true. You don't get used to it, but I always, what about the hours? And I go, I'll tell you what, at 10:30 when I'm going home, I'll let you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's always great.
There's always the balance of the shift worker, and I regard this as a shift job.
Yeah.
I actually think it's funny when you get... and this goes for anyone that's shift work. If there's a full-on staff thing and they're starting at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, it's like, well, how about you all come to my place at 10 o'clock at night?
Exactly.
Because that's sort of like, you know what I mean? Like it makes no sense to me.
I remember, and
it's part of our bedtime.
I'm sure it was with UT over our 10 years at some stage. Just sent an all-staff memo saying we want a meeting at 4:30 a.m. Thanks. No one showed.
I know.
No one.
I know.
How funny, yeah. So true.
Hey, we've got our party in just a little over a week.
Yeah.
And just 2 minutes ago, we got this message. Morning, my name is Joe. I am the head chef at Harrigan's Cameron Park.
Oh.
And I'm super excited to have you all come to our wonderful, amazing pub and can't wait. And I said, well, thanks, Joe. We can't wait to go there either. What's one of your fave dishes to make? And she just sent the picture of the most gorgeous pork belly with a tatty and gravy on the side.
Oh.
So it looks pretty yum.
Well, that's 10 years, Joe. I would like an orange with toothpicks, cube cheese and coloured onion. Thank you.
So there you go.
A little retro. Oh, no, she's going to do it now.
She'll love it, definitely, on the platter.
Well, we're looking forward to eating your food, Joe.
Yeah,
more tickets today.
I thought she was saying, can I have tickets? It's like, that's a bit cruel.
No.
She can cook, but not allowed out.
Yeah, that's rough. What's your favourite pub meal? Because I'd just go chicken snitty every time.
Well, I'm more... Funny she wrote that.
Pork belly.
My go-to at the moment.
Yeah.
It never was a thing. And I just love it now.
It's very popular at the moment,
isn't
it?
I'm a bit more Tanya. I never had snitty because everyone told me, what's snitty like? The huge. No. What do they taste like? The huge.
Yeah.
Always told me how big they were. And now that's my pub go-to.
You can get it everywhere now.
You know why? Yeah. I reckon for us.
Why?
Because somewhere along the line in the last 10 years, pub steak went from $10 to $49.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's usually gluten-free, your pork belly.
Of course, as well.
There you go.
Yeah. So, anyway.
When did that happen? $49. When did that happen?
Well, I saw a steak on a menu over the weekend for $195.
Well, you should stop going to places like that, Tanya.
$195.
And that's just for the steak on the plate as well. There's no sides on it. No salad or chips or anything next to it.
In their defence, the chef takes you home.
All right, we're away for a Tuesday. It's the 9th of April. It's 5:06.
Where the hell was that?
We do have some tickets to go to our 10th year birthday bash. Win them after 7 o'clock today at Triple M. On the line,
you'll never know what you'll find. What you looking at?
Well, on actually laughing because it was about 10 months ago that there was an incredible lineup of entertainment in Newcastle.
Yeah.
This is one of them. A little bit of Grinspoon. Flowed nicely into Peking Duck.
I've got a feeling I know what you're talking about.
Bet you do.
And then British India as well.
British India as well.
And why was that a big deal?
And amongst, you know, tens of other wonderful artists.
Yeah.
We were farewelling the Cambo.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
I do, out on the road and everything.
Friday, June 23. The whole of Newcastle and the Hunter that had ever spilt a drink or had one spilt on them at the Cambo collectively went out to say goodbye. You might not have gone to the venue, but you kind of tipped your hat and raised a glass.
I did. Went and saw my mate Scott's punk band, hadn't played for 10 years.
You did, the week before.
They didn't rehearse. You couldn't tell. And I was only there an hour and a half and I had to leave because my oxygen mask ran out.
Well.
God, it stunk.
Here we are 10 months later.
Yeah.
And remember, the whole reason for closure was that they were going to put up a $110 million student housing complex that could accommodate 560 people.
Yep.
That development will now not proceed.
Mm.
And Express...
it's on the market, mate. Let's go, team.
It's back on the market.
Too late. King Street have got the stages now.
Well,
I know.
Yeah. But they're chasing upwards of $10 million. So I thought, gosh, if we all punt it in... with 99 of our closest, nearest and dearest.
That's not bad.
1,099 of our closest, nearest and dearest. See, I thought, that's why I figured I knew what you were talking about. I thought, is it a bulldozer though?
No.
No?
No, no, no. The advantage we have this time around, this is the person that is behind the sale, is that we are offering the poker machines with the facility as well, whereas we didn't before because they're going to knock it down.
Yeah.
There are 8 poker machine entitlements on title and the license is on title.
Yep.
So all those things that you often struggle with.
That's huge money and time to get those things.
Absolutely. So you are in front of the eight ball.
Yes.
It's all waiting for you.
But how do you get the smell out of the carpet?
That's ingrained. There's not coming out.
The gaming entitlements, then there's also that opportunity to resurrect the hospitality use and continue as a live music venue.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
You know, and I think there's always a cry, and you hear it everywhere you go, people going, why isn't there somewhere for over 30s? So you build it and they don't go. Well, we can't go because we've got kids and we're busy.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. But I wonder, that is so interesting.
Yeah.
We went through the whole, let's save the Cambo.
So interesting.
Save the Cambo, goodbye the Cambo. Cambo could be back.
But you're right as well.
All in 9 months.
Exactly.
And since that time, like you said, Steve, King Street has kind of proven themselves as the new live music venue in town. So they've done a really good job to kind of get in and get some of the, pivot some of the acts. Yeah.
And the three-stage unit gives it that local band, that kind of semi-name band. And so it's kind of taken over where it did. And it's the Cambridge people organising it. So it will be, I still think it'll be units, isn't it? Everything. That's all they do now. And you have a pub below. With a license, but probably a bistro where they charge $49 a steak.
I don't know. Like, they really are pushing for that pub. And
they want it to be back.
Yeah, they're not talking about building on it anymore. Yeah. It's just you can buy what was once there for $10
million. Okay.
Who do we know with a lot of money?
We always say Jeff McCloy.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, straight away. Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure he's got ties up with the Lucky.
He does.
I think they sold that.
Did they?
I don't know. Get Jeff on the line, somebody. but you're right. Who do we know with that sort of money waving around?
It's always poor Jeff.
Or it's or as we do, and it's not our world, but in business, right, there'll be someone, like an Alan Bond, and we go back to those sort of people, Scases, right, that will do all these things with everybody else's money. That's what we need to do.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Hence why I want 99 of our nearest and dearest.
There you go. All investors.
Yeah.
And then when it crumbles down, you end up in Tahiti. I don't know whether they're going to be able to get another music live venue going, though.
Yeah.
You wonder how much money it makes.
Well, I don't know the answers to these questions.
No.
But someone with accountants on staff will.
True, true.
We'll watch and see.
The Cambridge is coming back.
Sounds good to me, Senior and
Was
Steve.
That too early?
We've got a record recorder Rooster for you to solve straight after this.
Feel better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up, loud and clear, because Tanya and Steve Hill's Triple M breakfast.
Tanya and Steve's Rock and Recorder Rooster. Tanya and Steve's Rock and Recorder Rooster.
That's right, you've got Steve, you've got Risey, and right at this moment, the Tanya Wilkes Philharmonic Orchestra to play something on the recorder. It's like, you know, the CGI'd a thousand of her around here playing a recorder.
Or
I always think that
when
I
see personalities come out to play.
All that. All of them. But as soon as I see sheet music, which she does, it's legit. Mm. Sheet music, that I automatically think of an orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you see it. Yeah. So she plays the recorder well if you're new to the show. Oh, and she
don't promise things I can't keep.
Oh, just be your mate. Look, she's a bit rubbish, but at the end of the day, you might just jag a couple of notes.
You might.
Guess the song she's playing. Win tickets to go see James Taylor, plus Ella Hooper and Josh Pyke are on there as well. That's coming up, Bimbadgin Estate. That's April 27, not that far off.
Yeah, Down the Green.
So you got tickets to A Day on the Green, a good gig. Just pick the song T's playing on the recorder.
133353, give us a call. That's our phone number if you want to solve it today.
Which Tanya's playing the recorder today?
This will be the one that cries if people don't applaud it.
Oh, that Tanya.
You better get it, everybody. It's not the easiest song today. I've had a little listen today. It didn't help that Tanya's fingers weren't warmed up when she practiced it with me.
Is that what she said, because it was bad?
Yeah, well, they've got my been frozen numb. Fingers, remember?
Don't make me. Oh, the finger, okay. All right, Ross from Lambton, well done, very brave, my friend, to be the first up.
Yes, I don't know. I'm in for trouble, I think.
Here we go, Ross.
Here we are, mate. I know it, not the name of Ross.
Do you know it?
Can you play it again?
Oh, God. All right.
I know it.
Me too, but I don't know it.
Nah, sorry, it's all right, Ross. Have a great day.
Not the name. Not
you're
the
playing
name.
It. You're playing it better than you played it to me before, didn't you?
And thank you, Ryan.
Angela at Merriweather, have a guess. Have a listen to this and tell us what song and artist it is. Oh my God!
That's how I heard it this morning. No one. That's what she played this
no
morning.
No one ever thought there was going to be a semi-trailer involved.
And any ideas?
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
It's a new song. Yeah, well, newish.
This time, Duck. Angela? Yeah.
I know the song. I can't think of the artist.
Yeah. Everyone's picking. It's the name of the song I can't get in my
name
head.
Name an artist.
Hello. Hello, Lynette Neath.
How you going?
Do you know what it is, or do you want another listen?
Oh, look, I know it, but I can't get it. It's something like I've been waiting.
Yeah. Sorry,
Lynette.
Chris at Cessnock, do you know what it is?
Is it Counting Stars by One Republic?
Oh, nailed it.
I would never have got that.
Really?
I mean, the name. Yeah. I knew what you were playing, even after that car accident.
Love that. Love One Republic. Well done, Chris. Double pass.
Thank you very much.
You're off to James Taylor, mate. And there you go. Also, too, Ella Hooper and Josh Pyke playing their Bimbadgin Estate for A Day in the Green.
Beautiful, just down the road.
Oh, perfect.
Good on you.
Love it.
Perfect.
You can grab your tickets from Ticketmaster or win them here all this week with Tanya and Steve.
Just on that, T, I do like that song. Yeah. But you said you like One Republic. Did they have any others?
Yeah, Stop Heaps. And Stare. You'd be, that Apologise song.
You would be surprised if I rolled through even the albums. There's so many of great songs from them.
Okay.
Yeah, they had like Counting Stars, Something I Need, Stop and Stare, Apologise with Timbaland.
Yep, Start Again.
Well, it's hardly the Beatles' White Album.
It's not the Beatles' White Album. But they had a few songs.
Just sometimes, you'll hear it and go,
Right.
Okay,
let's
count
go. Count
in three, because it starts straight away. 3, 2, and 1.
I've been losing sleep, dreaming about the things that we could be. But baby,
why are we stopping? Because it's so good.
Because the concentration on your face then. I actually thought you were going to have an end result.
Oh, my God.
She was so focused. Very clever. Done.
Thank you.
You got it.
Yay.
Remember, because she'll cry if you don't get
that. It was.
Bloody brilliant. One of my favourite movies, I think it was the 90s, too. It's called The Madness of King George.
Right.
And I just by fluke watched it once. It was the true story of a King George III, I think, 1800s. Anyway, he went a bit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the nasty Prince of Wales' son had to take over the reign while he was locked away for a few years.
Right.
And then I read a story on the weekend, they're talking about, not that King Charles going crazy, but possibly if he's incapacitated as a king, that would happen again.
Mm.
They would have to hand the Prince Regent.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. At this day and age, that still goes on.
Well, that's obviously why we've got Peter Anderson, UK correspondent and London-based reporter on the phone.
I think he's just dropped out right now. Jerry's just getting him back right now.
We haven't, Tanya.
We did, and his phone has just dropped out.
That would have been a beautiful intro to set. He would have heard that and have gone straight in. But it was, in this case, and it was true to a degree, but Hollywood, of course, but the Prince Regent, no one liked him. He was like all about himself and all that.
Okay.
Yeah. But then, so immediately, if this was to happen, it would be William, wouldn't it?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
He's next in line.
Yeah.
Peter Anderson, as I said, UK correspondent, London-based reporter, is with us to explain. Hello, Peter.
Tanya, good morning to you, and good morning, guys.
Morning, Peter. I was just saying how I love the madness of King George, the movie from years ago, and the true story about it, but, you know, where Prince Regent can take over if the king is incapacitated.
Yeah, and absolutely, and I think it's fair to say that totally unexpected, but the diagnosis of King Charles being treated for cancer means that we are having those kind of debates here in the UK. Not the madness of King George, but the incapacity of King Charles. And there is serious debate over whether he will be in a position to carry on, whether he would want to carry on, and what the line of succession would be. And obviously, if King Charles was to decide to step down, we would see King William crowned in very short time. At the moment, most people still feel that having waited for the best part of 70 years to get the top job, King Charles will be very reluctant to step to one side. He certainly, at his coronation, made it clear that he saw the royalty, the monarchy, in the same way his late mother did, that you serve until you die. So most people still think that King Charles will be with us until he cannot, for health reasons or whatever reason, cannot carry on the throne. But there are those people who are beginning to doubt and beginning to think, could it be one of the shorter term reigns of any monarch we have seen in recent time?
Peter, who makes the ultimate call? I mean, during that you were saying that Prince Charles probably doesn't want to step aside because he did have to wait. But is there a group of people within the palace? Does it go to partly the Prime Minister? How does it work over there?
Well, if King Charles decides that he wants to step down, it would be his decision and effectively his decision alone to abdicate. However, if it was decided by those around him that he was not in a fit state to carry on as monarch, then effectively in the short term, there would be a short-term fix. You would have Prince William taking on the responsibilities of the king, but without the title of king, acting effectively as replacement king while his father recovered. If, however, it was more serious, if, for example, any monarch was deemed to be incapable of ruling the country and ruling the Commonwealth, if it was decided, for example, for mental health, you could have a situation that effectively the politicians and the royals decide between them that they will force the monarch to step aside, maybe in the short term, maybe in the longer term. And those people would, for example, include the Queen, Queen Camilla, the Speaker of the House of Commons, others within the government would actually make the difficult decision and, in the worst case scenario, would be able to say to the king, we are putting you into permanent or temporary retirement. Nobody is envisaging that, but there are mechanisms in place that the politicians and other royals could effectively say to any king, any queen, you need to step aside for the good of the nation, the good of the country, the good of the Commonwealth.
Hypothetical, Peter. William, I don't know, he dies. I'm doing hypothetical. There's a reason for it, okay? Yeah. So King Charles, can't do it. William, gone. Who's next to be king?
George, isn't it?
It would be exactly, Tanya. Yeah. In the line of succession, at the moment we have King Charles and obviously Queen Camilla on the throne. It is Prince William who is next in line. If for any reason he was incapable, or as you imply, was not around to take that, it would be the young George
and how
who
old
would
is
become
he now?
King. Precisely, we're looking at a school-age king who would not be in a position to do that. So the reality would be that you would have a king who is holding that in title only, and other royals would effectively be taking the responsibility, would be acting as guardians for King George until he was old enough to actually take on the throne. But actually, the people are saying if Prince William became King William, the change in dynamic with where you have a young Prince George who would suddenly become heir to the throne at a very young age. If we think back before our time, when the Queen Elizabeth took the throne, King Charles, as he was then Prince Charles, became heir to the throne, and he was only 3.5 years old when his mother took to the throne. Mm. So had anything happened to Queen Elizabeth, we would have had an even younger king in waiting, and effectively in limbo, waiting until he was old enough to take on the crown.
All we know is that Prince Andrew's never going to get a Guernsey.
Nah.
Because we've all just watched Scoop, Peter, here on Netflix, retelling
Tanya,
that.
Go on. But the scary thing is, Andrew is still 8th in line to the succession to the crown. Yeah. So forget Princess Anne, forget Prince Edward, forget lots of others. At the moment, if you're looking at the top 10, Andrew is still sitting rather comfortably at number 8.
So where does Harry sit in all of that?
Harry, interestingly, Harry is still officially 5th in line to the crown.
See?
So if anything were to happen to William and then the princes George and Louis, Princess Charlotte, Harry would become, I was going to say King Harry, but we all know his real name is Henry, so he would become King Henry the Ninth and would take the crown of England, the crown of so many places around the world. So Harry is still in the running, but what I would say, guys, is when Harry was born, he was 3rd in line to the throne, and he has dropped to 5th. The way things work in royal circles, Princess Anne, when she was born, she was 3rd in line to the throne, and she has now dropped to 17th. So if Harry's going to make a move, he needs to do it quickly.
It's why she's cranky when she turns up to christenings.
Oh, Peter, it's always great to chat with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Great to speak to you guys as well. Take care.
There's Peter Anderson, UK correspondent. Rizzy, did I not know that? I'm good on my royals.
When you asked about the Harry, Steve, Tanya looked at me and she went 5. And she now noted 5.
Notice I didn't look. It was like, that's why we got the Peter on.
Exactly.
We could have just sat and talked to
could
you.
Could talk to me about it all.
I know you love a guest, so let's get him on. But there you go. In a
it's
movie,
interesting stuff.
If you were to make a movie, you'd go to Harry, as you say, he's 5, right? Mm. So it's like, you've got to knock off 4.
Yeah, how do you do it?
Well, you can't because they're children.
Well,
that'd be an awesome movie
it's
plot.
It's a movie, T.
It's happened all through history, though.
It's got an R18 plus label in the movie,
okay.
So it's fine to kill a couple of kids.
Can you imagine George, right? How big would his Insta profile be?
It's Triple M.
Hey, this is a cute little thing that I read this morning.
Yeah.
So, children of the 80s and 90s, of which we all are, right? Mm-hmm. There is a little thing that came out today to say there is one little paragraph that we could all recite so fast and so on point, as opposed to the first 4 lines of the Australian national anthem, like Advance Australia Fair.
So
I'm going to try you first with the national anthem to see if you can get the first 4 lines.
Oh God.
And then I'm going to try you with the little ditty that they say we all knew off the top of our heads.
Australians, all let us rejoice, for we used to be young and free.
Mm. Well, we're 1 and free now, Stephen, keep going.
Oh, yeah, I would have got that wrong.
What's the third line?
With golden soil and earth for toil, something about the land and sea.
Not earth for toil.
Well, whatever.
Wealth for toil.
That's it, yep. That's what we said.
Yeah, okay, with golden soil.
Wealth for toil.
I don't know. Something girt by sea.
I do our like home. To cook with alfoil.
Our home is girt by sea. Well, you're proving my point.
But no one says girt. Stupid.
We're 50% of the way there to prove this little theory.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask you to recite the Big Mac.
The
Big Mac ingredient verse.
So I used to know the cheesy cheese. Choose the cheesy cheese at the triple cheese lovers. Choose the cheesy cheese at the triple cheese at McDonald's.
That's pretty cool, though. Yeah.
Telling you now, Rise, I surrender my party trick.
No, it starts with 2 all beef patties.
Special sauce, cheese, pickled onion on a sesame seed bun.
Almost so close.
What did I miss?
You missed lettuce.
Oh, I always ask for lettuce takeout.
Yeah, Steve hates lettuce.
Yeah, why don't you lettuce?
Try again. 2 all beef patties.
Patty, special sauce, cheese, lettuce.
Pickled onions on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah, but the other way around. Lettuce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
And that has not been around for, what, 30 years? 20
Absolutely
years?
Absolutely not.
And, 20 why, years. And why isn't that our national anthem? At least we'd bloody remember it.
But how funny is that? So children of the 80s and 90s, we could absolutely recite the Big Mac.
Yeah.
And we did around the schoolyard, if you remember.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't. Do they know it anymore?
No.
No, they don't.
They don't know it anymore.
Okay.
No.
Because it's just not, not... I haven't heard that in ages.
Well, you know
ages.
What? It's a bit like smoking. Because then no one told us that you might be getting a bit chubby for your McDonald's. But it's interesting, isn't it, though, the national anthem in America, it's like it's the first thing they learn by heart, isn't it? It's so hand on heart kind of. And here you can still see, as you know, we sing along, we try and be a bit nationalistic, but it's like, oh, I'm not quite sure about the words. I'll just, you know, and I don't want to say Gert. That's embarrassing.
Still my favourite burger at McDonald's, the old Big Mac.
Yeah, well, you say that we haven't heard it for a while. It's coming back.
Is it?
Yeah, they're going to teach a new generation to say it.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, there you go, because apparently the generation at the moment is getting a bit thin. So
put a bit of meat on their bones.
See, I'm a quarter pounder guy, right?
Are you?
Always have been, because it, in my head, not knowing that scale, sounded big. It's like, quarter pounder? Yeah, I'm like that.
Yeah.
Don't have a quarter pounder in France, you know, T. You know why?
They've got a
metric
Royal
system called the Royale.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
I'm reliving Pulp Fiction.
Yes, you are. Triple.
Expert Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Morning, Trevor.
Hey, Trevi.
Good morning.
This does have all the feels of April Fool's, but it's fantastic, this new Australian technology.
One of the things we had to double check, it's from Volkswagen, and the idea here is that you're driving through the bush and you're worried about kangaroos. Don't worry. The Volkswagen badge on the front of the car is deterring kangaroos. So they've developed this technology, which I've seen kind of before worked on. There was a thing called Shuru back in the bush when I lived there. But this is basically high-frequency signals that go out that you can't hear, but that would deter the kangaroos on the side of the road from coming out. And so it actually replaces the Volkswagen badge on the front of the car. So you got an Amarok or something, you change the Volkswagen badge for this. It's not a product yet, but they're working on releasing it. And even internationally, they're looking at it being used for, you know, deer and moose deterrence. So great way to build that into the car, and you just turn it on and off in the car as you're driving.
Like with kangaroo in general, doesn't really affect us, but God, big sales out west, isn't it?
Mm.
That's right. You know, you're driving on a country road, especially at night.
Yeah.
It's only happened to me once, but I've driven thousands of kilometres in the country, and it's a brutal feeling to have something jump out at you and to hit them and then be stranded potentially in the side of the road. So anything you can do to keep yourself safe is a good thing.
Can't they, you know, use this technology and leapfrog it for other things, like can we wear shoes that deter snakes? Can we wear clothes that deter bears when we're walking? I mean, the ideas are endless.
How many bears are you walking around, Tanya?
What?
How many bears are you walking around?
Oh, mate, I'm telling you now, Trev, she goes to dangerous spots.
No, I'm thinking...
But it's like, I can see what Tanya's saying.
I want
saying.
The sunglasses that deter spiders, okay?
Well,
I don't
well
like
you
them.
Are, but like, it's
a,
if they've got something that can deter...
A roux.
Like, you know, a button on your shirt that deters blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, I think it's a great idea. I think the size of this thing is like a 17-inch, you know, Volkswagen logo. So I'm tipping it's not small technology, and that may be the stumbling block for
sorry,
making
T,
it more
looks,
mobile.
Looks like you're going to have to wear a big-ass medallion.
Yeah, just dangle a Volkswagen badge around your neck. It'll be great.
If they can come up with one in the front of my car that would just prevent slow walkers across the zebra crossing, I'm fine.
Okay. Now, the other thing rattling around is the Telstra 3G network switch off. And you've just sent us the details on how to check. I've just done it, Trev. You can explain how it's done. And my phone is fine, so thank you for that.
And this is all we need to do, is we need to ourselves, and then think about your neighbours, your grandparents, your mother, whoever it is that has a phone that they love, it works, but they've had it for a long time. If you're on the Telstra network with either Telstra Belong or Boost, all you have to do is text the number 3 to 3498. So the number 3, and you just send it to 3498, and it almost instantly replies and says, our last records show that the phone you're using on our network is fine, or otherwise. And so that's just another way of checking that you'll be okay after the 3G switch off in July.
Well, that's good, you know, particularly people with you know, don't use phones as regular and have the old ones.
Yeah, I just did it. Works fine. I love
that. Nice and simple. Do it with your family and your neighbour's phone when you next see them and visit them just to check that they'll be okay. Because remember, the only time you'll know with a 4G phone that it won't work properly is when you call 000. And that's a bit late.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Trevi.
Pleasure.
Have a great day. There's Trevor Long.
So what is it again? You text...
So you just simply... You can try right now. Grab your phones. Oh, everyone together.
Oh, no.
I'm doing it.
You go on to message.
Rise. This was my fault. Yeah, I should have waited till we went to a break.
You go on to message.
Hang on.
And send a text message to 3498.
3498.
But you've got to text the number 3.
Yeah.
So just put 3 in the text message box. Hit send and straight away you should get... And our records indicate your mobile phone is fine.
Oh.
Did you get it?
No.
Oh, my God.
So the number 3, the number 4, the number 9,
oh,
the number 8.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you got it?
Oh, so, no, Steve, I don't want to go on a date with you. yeah, same. I'm good.
You're good, Risey?
Don't know if I'm doing it correctly.
Give us your Nokia here, mate. yeah. give me your Nokia.
Does it work on a 5110? oh, something to play at home with.
Yeah,
well, we'll let you get back to, was it Tesla or a Telstra? Or what was that game we used to play on Nokia?
Oh, Snake. Snake.
I thought it was Tetris.
Tetris, thank you, Tim.
Tetris.
Because that was really close to what I was saying, right?
it's Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up, loud and clear, because Tanya and Steve are here. It's Triple M breakfast. Work locker, Warner's Bay or Morrissey.
$10 million. For the daughter of Winx, is there any more, any further bid at $10 million? Last chance, done.
How would you like to bet that auction, Steve? Don't scratch your nose. Cost you $10.5 million.
Oh.
$10 million for a horse. They call it the sport of kings, and it cost a king's ransom to buy the daughter of champion racehorse Winx yesterday. She's been here in our Hunter Valley, waiting to go on sale up in Scone. This was the biggest story in town last night. And the bloke training the next Winx is the guy who looked after the original and is a Triple M listener. If you were tuned in very early this morning, you would have heard trainer Chris Waller on Luke Boner's overnight show talking about this filly that's worth eight figures.
I knew it was going to be fireworks because there was a American investor, John Stewart, announcing on social media that he was buying the filly at all costs, and he wasn't going to stop. He did stop. And in terms of bloodlines, when you're talking about animals, cows, horses, whatever you might talk about, they'll have that bloodline for generations.
So it was a part owner of Winx that shelled out. I know you two are very worried, but don't be. Property magnate Debbie Capitis is worth around $300 million on paper.
Oh, okay.
Her checks don't bounce.
Right.
and as you heard, a horse like this can be a generational investment, but it sounds like it was just as much an emotional purchase. Chris said the family spent heaps of weekends in the valley visiting over the last 18 months. I think we can all understand the attachment we have with a well-loved animal. This is just a really expensive and long-distance one.
But, I mean, not every parent follows in their child's...
I know.
Not every child follows in their parents' footsteps.
No.
You're really putting your money on the DNA, aren't
you?
Yeah.
And by the way, I blew all my money with Tanya earlier on my investment in the Cambridge.
Which was $10 million as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the next year or so, the horse will be prepared for racing. But as you say, there's no guarantee she'll go any good. She only needs to be half as good as a mum to make back the investment. Winx was purchased for just over $200,000 a decade ago and made $26 million plus in prize money, won 33 races straight, and crowds at the track were 30% higher when Winx ran compared to when she didn't. So I think everyone is on board with the hype of this filly. But yes, it's $10 million on a punt, but I think it was emotional for the owners as well.
It's like spending $5,000 to get Cooper Johns to be our next halfback.
Would have been a bad investment. Now, the other big question, what will the name be? Winx 2.0, perhaps?
Oh, I'll probably ring up the night shift and see what listeners think. And I thought of Tiddlywinx. I'll leave that to Debbie. I'll give you a number.
That's cute, Tiddlywinx.
I don't know, $10 million for a daughter of a racehorse. I'd put an A in there.
Anyway, if you've got a suggestion, I'm sure Luke would love to hear it late tonight or early tomorrow morning. Oh, good on you, JR.
Thanks, JR.
There's JR's been on sport thanks to Work Locker. 25% of cat workwear for a limited time only at Work Locker, Warners Bay or Morissette. This is Newcastle's 102.9 Triple M. This is Tanya and Steve. Good morning. On the line. Tanya, he's back.
I know. Oh, well
I got
done.
Lost in the lifts, guys. Honestly.
Hey, I don't know whether you guys saw this yesterday online, but it just is a reminder going forward, and I'm glad that it's finally here. There was a young Brisbane fellow, 22 years old, and last year when the Rugby World Cup was on, he got very vocal online when Samoa were playing England.
Yeah.
And to the point where he trolled the referee and the referee's family and ended up in court yesterday and was given a $1,000 good behaviour bond because he is usually a lovely kid.
Right.
22 years old, great family, does youth work, all the rest of it. But he said that he got drunk and trolled this ref.
Yeah. Right.
World Rugby then explained how they caught him. They've got a program, they've got a room full of people, and they were able to sift through, oh, something like 1.5 million accounts in a second.
Yeah, okay.
When the Rugby World Cup was on. And they claim that that's going to be it going forward, and other sports are looking into taking that same methodology and using it to find trolls. So the days of sitting behind your computer keyboard and having a crack at people and think you're anonymous, even if you're not using accounts in your name, seemingly are fast drawing to an end. And I think great, because the kid, like I say, he went to court and he's had his punishment, but it went so, you know, giving death threats to family members and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's what they're finding with these online trolls. And I love it. I love the fact that hopefully this will stamp that sort of garbage out.
I still think it should be the slapping tour, you know, and like, you know, like that ad that was going around last year. You open the door. G'day, mate. You're the one that said this guy can't play for whatever. Because, you know, like, $1,000 fine doesn't even seem like enough sometimes for some of the crap they do.
I
know he's a good lad, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying
that
it's about the punishment too.
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
And, like, that was a very minor one.
Sure.
I was more talking about the fact that they've got technology now.
Yes.
You know, and you can't hide or think you can create a fake account.
Yes.
Because the IP address will lead them straight to you. Mm.
The pathetic bravery of a hater is mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're just gutless.
I mean, you still can have your say about your team and all the rest of it, but it's when it becomes an individual online troll situation.
Yeah. Yes.
So, what do you think? Good news?
Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah. Oh,
great
news. Absolutely. I read haters and just think, really?
Yeah.
Like, why do you hate your life that much, mate? Why do you hate your life that much and everything about it that you have to just project it out on someone else?
Mm.
Hey, another breaking news, OT. Due to the current food prices, the 5-second rule on the barbecue is extended to 15 seconds.
Great news.
Awesome.
There you go, kids.
Love that.
You'll be eating the ones off the dirt.
So, Tanya and Steve, we're here thanks to McDonald Jones Homes. They've been building homes. We say it every day. They've been building homes in the Hunter for almost 40 years.
And right now, they're building more into their homes than ever before.
Double glazed windows in there for you. You've got the solar power, electric chargers for the car when they get, you know, getting ahead of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plus, of course, all the energy efficient appliances.
And that is building better. If you want to find out more, maybe get a free quote and site inspection today, head out to McDonald Jones Hunter Display Home.
McDonaldJonesHomes.com.au is where you check it all out.
Hey, do you ever order off the kids' menu when you go out to eat?
I nearly did, funny you asked that, on the weekend.
Oh.
Just wasn't hungry. At a pub, I just couldn't do a full schnitzel. And I looked down and went, oh, the kids' fish and chips, that'll do.
So do you think you should be able to order off the kids' menu?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah. I know that rule thing. I know that kind of, you know, apparently you're not supposed to.
Well, it's just frowned upon.
Yeah.
There's a girl.
I think you should be able to, though. You're not that hungry. Otherwise, you order a big meal. So what? Okay, so I'll order a $40 meal and only eat half.
Mm. See, I see it from two angles. I understand what you're saying, but I also see it from the venue, because the reason children's menus exist, do they not, is because they make them cheaper to bring the kids in.
Mm.
So, and kids are fussy eaters anyway, a lot of the
they're
time.
They're only going to pick around at some of it anyway.
Yeah, so the venue are doing the parents a favour by actually creating a menu that is less cheaper and smaller for children.
Yeah.
So I just think as a venue, if everyone's going to order off the kids' menu...
Well, I don't think everyone will, though.
No, I know.
So I think I'm doing them a favour by going to their business.
Yeah, okay.
They're not doing me a favour. Yeah. I can get a kids' meal anywhere I like.
Yeah.
From any place. It's not the... You can get kids' prices everywhere.
Yeah.
Can't you? Is that right?
Oh, look, not everywhere.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go to a 5-star, obviously. Yeah. I'm down the bottom, we're going to have kids' lobster.
Yeah. But they'll
I know what you mean.
Yeah, they'll often even do the same meal,
a little bit smaller.
A
little version.
And, yeah, so...
Yeah, my mother, I'll give you an example on this, all right? Digging it a bit deeper. My mother had a cancer where she got nearly 70% of her stomach taken out, and gizzards, as I call them. Mm. She can't eat an adult meal.
Yep.
But she's not allowed to order a kid's meal?
Yep.
You're not going basically on what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that, you know, like, she won't eat barely anything. The kid's meal is all she'll put away.
Yeah. I find it weird when you go to an establishment and they will say, like you say, you can't order off the kid's meal, but yet I can order one meal and we can share it.
Mm.
See, that to me is weird.
Same deal.
Yeah.
But it's also, I'll just get the entree then.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, you can just order an entree if you want a smaller meal.
Hey, Michelle from Charlestown's given us a call, wants to weigh in on the kids' menu.
Do you think you should be able to order off it, Michelle?
For me personally and a lot of people I know, I've had the sleeve operation, so, have lost, I just will not, even I can't finish a kid's meal sometimes.
Yeah.
So, and I have heard, I haven't come across it yet, but other people have found that there's restaurants that will have, that they're really happy. And most places are, I'll just explain to them that I don't eat a lot. But, usually it will either be getting the kids' meal or I'll tell my husband what we're having for dinner and I'll just eat from his plate.
Yes, well, a bit like what T was saying with the share thing.
Yeah.
See, the one restaurant I was at, it was in Sydney, and I didn't notice it before. It may happen a lot. But it said kids' meals and then it went under 10.
Yes, they do have an age for some.
For some, because I've seen it before, but it's not common?
No.
Okay.
No, but I do see
it.
Because
it did say under 10, and then mine immediately went, oh, well, at least you've told me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think if they make it clear, you can't argue.
No.
You know? And if you are a small eater, then maybe just stick to an entree.
Yes.
Or sharesies.
Yeah,
sharesies. Exactly.
Especially, though, too, when you look down the kids' meal, it's actually better than the adult one. Oh, look at that. How come I can't get an adult hot dog? What's wrong with that? Where's your adult nugget?
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud because Tanya and
Steve Hill's Triple M breakfast. Today's show, well, bits of it anyway, have been brought to you by the letters A and I.
Have they?
And it's not Sesame Street.
I was about to say, you bet, dun, 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 dun. What's going on?
Well, you guys don't know this, right? Yeah. Yesterday, because people keep telling me, use AI to do your $1,000 minute, right?
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday, because I've got an AI account with a certain AI platform, I thought, bugger it, I'm going to actually cheat and do most of the show with AI.
Mm-hmm.
So I started.
Don't sound like we have much involvement.
We're just puppets in this. Welcome
everyone to
Tanya,
Tanya and the All Stars.
No, I said my bits, right? So first up, I had to choose a song for Rock and Recorded Ruse Day, and I asked AI, what do you think, you know the Triple M Newcastle breakfast radio audience, what song do you think AI wrote? Hi, Tanya. How about Counting Stars by One Republic? Its melody is catchy and relatively simple, making it suitable for beginners on the recorder like you. Plus, this is a bit cruel, by the way. Plus, it's a more modern song that many people will recognise and enjoy, particularly the Triple M Newcastle audience.
Well, let's go back to 6:24 this morning.
Here we go, Ross.
Here we are, mate.
Hello?
As you can hear there, it was wrong.
But, I mean, how bizarre.
I mean, full on, isn't
it? So that told you to play that song.
Yeah. Then do you remember when you were asked and challenged to do this, Steve? No, it starts with two all beef patties.
Special sauce, cheese, pickled onion on a sesame seed bun.
Which you almost got wrong. Right.
Dear AI, one of the segments tomorrow, I want to test Steve on something. Can you give me something that's rattling around in the world of news but fun? And it said, yes, of course I can, Tanya. Why don't you ask Steve if he can recite the Big Mac to all be... And it goes on.
Yeah.
And then it gave me a link to the story about the... You had to be there, people. But what I'm saying is, that whole segment that we did earlier about Advance Australia Square and trying to get you was completely AI. I just said Advance Australia Square.
No. it looks AI, that one. Anyway, what was the last one?
And the last one was the $1,000 minute. All right, Leighton, what is the name of the video game character known for his iconic blue hedgehog design and super fast speed? So it went on and it gave me the 10 questions that we did today. So forever and a day, I'm going to use AI for that because it was so easy.
This is amazing.
And then I took it one step further and said, Dear AI, will my son Lorcan move back to Newcastle?
Yeah.
And it finished with, as an AI, Tanya, you know I can't predict the future or specific personal outcomes. Whether your son Lorcan moves back to Newcastle depends on various factors. But you're a good mum and should try best not to discuss this with him directly. Just let him decide what's best for his future.
I think it's very clear. If everyone could call now, please, and I'm deadly, deadly serious, should she get a dog or a friend?
One or the other.
Well, I feel like this is my new friend.
I know. I heard the tone. She's going to be sitting in the lounge room conversing with his AI eyes.
Can you please ask AI if Tiger Woods is going to win the Masters? He's playing $111 on sports bet.
You
at
heard
the moment.
What he said about Lorcan. He can't predict the future.
Well, and at least give me a hint. Should I put the house on it or $5?
Well, I'm now 20 years in there interviewing me about the show. I remember when Tanya stopped thinking for herself. It was back in 24. And she found AI. Everything on the show came from this thing.
I think it makes our life easier.
Yeah, I'm on board. Steve, you'll go tomorrow.
I've never researched a show in my life. I just turn up. I don't care.
20%.
The most popular entertainment.
You're here to be entertained. That's entertainment.
The E-Spot.
What's going on, mate?
Well, it happened on Sunday's episode of Bluey, the beloved cartoon, that it seems like they're going to sell their family home.
Oh.
Have a listen.
So you're looking to buy a house?
Yes, I am. Are you the house selling person?
Yes, and have I got the perfect house for you?
Ta-da!
Notice the lovely period floorboards?
Hmm. Is anyone living here at the moment?
Yes, but they're not home.
Is everything okay?
I'll be right back.
Now, it started off as a bit of a joke. But
yeah, it was a game.
Yeah, Risey saw it, Steve, and had a bit of a cry.
Oh.
Genuinely. Right. Like, it's...
This is when the kids had already walked off and you're on your own.
Yeah, they'd finished watching Bluey and I was just sitting there watching the latest episode. And I was genuinely, like, blown away, shocked. Because it did start off as a game, the whole episode. And then the last scene, it looks like they're just playing, selling houses or whatever, a game. And then it pans out right at the end and there's a for sale sign out the front of Bluey's home.
So, it's rocked children and their parents nationwide.
Really?
Yeah. And even what I love about this story is domain, the real domain.com.au, has actually listed Bluey's on the site.
That's so good.
How much, Steve?
Well, because it's a Queenslander.
Yeah.
Beautiful
with
home.
Its beautiful wraparound veranda and it's in a pretty affluent suburb of Brisbane.
And it's on the top of a hill.
In Red Hill.
It's got
there.
A big blue.
Red Hill? Yes. Okay. Queenslander, top of Red Hill. Oh, you're 1.5 mil easy.
Well,
what about
do you know Bluey's home? Because it is pretty luxurious. So domain.com.au have today listed Bluey's home for $6 million.
Oh my God. Thank goodness. No one will buy it. They'll stay there and they'll live happily ever after.
No, they'll buy it, mate, because they're banking on that celebrity sell, aren't they? You know who used to live here?
Louis.
Bingo. Louis.
$6 million.
Yeah, so I just think that's hilarious that it's so big and made such an impact when it went up on Sunday that even Domain have jumped on and
that's
goes,
very
we've
clever
got, we've
them.
Got to list this house.
I love
so
it.
Good.
Double folded the fact that a Australian cartoon is ingrained into our pop culture now.
Yep.
Flintstones
Thank
before,
God.
Simpsons, yes. whatever it is. An Aussie one.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Even when we were in Hawaii last year, Bluey is humongous over there. Mm. Like, because it's on all the Disney streams over there.
Yeah.
There was Bluey toys in the US
That's
shops.
That's great, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
So we got Bluey and the Wiggles.
Yeah.
Something to be proud of. Oh, there's our wee spot. It's thanks to Electrodry self-storage. If you found cheaper storage, Electrodry will beat it by 20%. This is Triple M.